Broadcasting live, coming to you a little bit later this evening. Sorry for the delay, Blockhead Nation. Had some things to tend to in the world of fostering dogs. You are listening to your favorite Blockhead, the only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow incorporate the Peanuts comic strip 1 minute and then be talking about MMA and warriors inside the octagon the next. I am your host. My name is Brian Little, and I'm going to start off with a public service announcement. We have now entered the month of October. It will be a month before the Great Pumpkin makes his appearance. I absolutely believe it will happen somewhere in the great state of Texas, but if it doesn't, I will say that we have got a problem on our hands in America. And those of you that have participated already, shame on you. Any of you that are purchasing pumpkin spice, you are literally being a part of worldwide genocide. You are murdering innocent pumpkins who have done nothing to you, just like when Lucy confronted his when Linus confronted Lucy, his sister, and said, "You didn't tell me you were going to kill it." Exactly. You are literally drinking pumpkin guts, and you ought to be ashamed of yourself. But I'm going to get that out of the way and move on to something a little more lighthearted. As far as a debut that many people in the world of Peanuts just don't know. There's been a plethora, a throng of different characters that are just stars that come and go in the night. We're talking shooting stars, some that are literally can be what's called a flash in the pan. And in many ways, one of them debuted in 1982. Of all of the siblings of Snoopy, I mean, you got Belle, you got Olaf, you got Spike in the desert, but you got another one that debuted in 1982 by the name of Marbles. I honestly don't think that one had a intelligence we were hoping for. He was pretty aloof, I guess you can say. He didn't talk much. He didn't engage much. Only a few appearances of him. He might have been in the 2015 movie, but if he is, then you miss him quickly at the root beer float toasting. But either way, we had a debut of a character that should be acknowledged. And we also have this acceptance that Snoopy will always be the head beagle. You know, Snoopy is not above criticism, and he is just as susceptible to responding back to criticism as one of our presidents did. Now, I try not to always get into American history, but just to give you a quick history lesson, we've had two presidents that really went to great lengths to not be criticized by the American public. And Snoopy is no exception to that. I will share that what I mean in a minute when I say the head beagle. You had our second president of the United States, John Adams, who made a grotesquely ridiculous move in American politics. At the time, the French Revolution was already well underway, and even Thomas Jefferson advised against him doing this. Adams was a little bit paranoid about American public and American opinion, to where he actually made an act that didn't not so much cost him his presidency, but certainly guaranteed he would not be chosen for a second term. There was one called the Alien Act, and there's one called, this is the key one, the Sedition Act. In the Sedition Act, he literally said that the American public cannot badmouth the government. Now, all through my life, that has been the norm. I don't care what side you choose, Republican, Democrat, Independent, it's always been there. But John Adams took it a step further, actually took a piece of legislation and passed it through Congress to where the public would not speak in a distasteful or disrespectful way towards the American public. And even Thomas Jefferson looked at him and said, "You're crazy. you are violating the First Amendment and the Constitution. You're violating something that we fought for. We had this thing called the American Revolution, remember? But Adams literally just says, I'm not going to have a divide in political opinion that could divide us as a country. And if I have to put this in place, then so be it. And it was a total setback for him, and it guaranteed that he would not move on into a second term. Now, that's the first one. The second one, who was paranoid about public opinion deep into the Vietnam War, would be none other than Richard Nixon. Nixon was a guy who, you badmouth him, be ready for a knockdown dragout. Be ready to be, get ready to play a game of politics you may not be ready for. But he was also a guy, if you look at just how he handled Watergate, where there's proof that he was part of the cover-up, that he instigated it, that he was not going to tolerate criticism. And that backfired on him from so many directions, especially when we get to the most controversial day in American politics. And again, I'm not speaking about politics. I'm giving you facts from the past. Adams and Nixon were susceptible to criticism, and they paid heavily for reacting to it. Snoopy has done the same thing. The head beagle has literally had a comic strip where Lucy is reading some of his work and then responds back, and Woodstock apparently takes the paper, wads it up, and throws it back at Lucy. And Snoopy's response is, my administration hates criticism. If Snoopy can fall prey to public opinion, then certainly your favorite blockhead can. You as a person with emotion can fall prey to that as well. I don't think Marbles did. If I remember right, looking like at the comic strip of 1982 and his debut, he very much didn't have anything that flew all over him. But either way, it shows you how much I know about Marbles, which is kind of sad. Here I am talking about his debut, and my length of knowledge for this character is pretty slim, because his appearances were pretty slim. But he would have a right to bring that to him. And also, I'm going to remind you again, like you always say, tell people you're going to tell them, you tell them, and then you tell them what you told them. I'm going to tell you again, if you are engaging in this worldwide genocide known as drinking pumpkin spice, you are literally drinking the innocent blood of young pumpkins who have not done anything to you, and you ought to look yourself in the mirror and realize that maybe I should make a change to the way that I enjoy my Starbucks. And with that, we move quickly into part two with our scripture of the day and into the world and wacky wild world of MMA. Blockhead Nation, thank you once again for tuning into this episode of the Your Favorite Blockhead Podcast. This show is sponsored by KitCaster. Guys, did you know that having a podcast is a great way to grow not only your personal brand, but your business? Here's the secret. We all want to feel connected to brands we buy from. And what better way to humanize a brand than through sharing your story on a podcast? That's where KitCaster comes in. KitCaster is a podcast booking agency that specializes in developing real human connections through podcast appearances. Whether you're an expert in the field or you just have a unique story to share, it's time to explore the world of podcasting with KitCaster. Go to the link at kitcaster.com/blockhead to apply for a special offer for listeners of this show. That's kitcaster.com/blockhead. You'll find that in the blog, the notes for today's show. Let's get back to the episode. Our scripture reading for this podcast comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. This covers all the bases, Blockhead Nation. As it says in the reflection from Blue Letter Bible, though we might be of little value in the eyes of the world, we are the vastest of worth in the eyes of God. For it was Christ himself who gave his life to redeem you, to redeem me. So Blockhead Nation, may that be encouraging to you as you listen to this. And also, I want to give some thanks for the encouragement I got from a beloved member of the YFB Network, The Burnout himself. I appreciate the donation to the Ko-fi page. I appreciate the root beer that you donated. It is tasty. If you don't know that, you can do a tip to this podcast. I have a tip jar that's on yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog. You'll see the Ko-fi page there. If you tip a root beer to me, which is usually a $3 tip, I send you back a thank you on the air. On the podcast, I usually give you some artwork in response, or you can get a t-shirt. You'll notice that the t-shirts that we sell for this podcast are $15, but if you do it through Ko-fi and buy me three root beers, that's $9. You get a $6 discount if you do it that route. So I always appreciate the support from all of you, but this time it's a shout-out specifically to Chris Barnett of The Burnout from that podcast that's exclusively part of the YFB network. So I certainly thank him for the support. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Burnout. So as we make our way into MMA, I am still trying to piece this together and decipher what's going on. You've got UFC Fight Night tonight in the Apex, already going down. And there happens to be a certain gentleman in the audience that supposedly, this is according to a few sources that I've looked at, I've had to comb through a lot of them to get to some type of answer for this. Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook is in the audience. According to the sources I've looked at, everything from Bloody Elbow to Low Kick MMA to There's Nothing on The Athletic to MMAfighting.com to BJPenn.com, they were all pointing to that Mark Zuckerberg bought out all of the seats for the Apex. Now, mind you, there aren't that many to begin with. If you don't know, the Apex in Las Vegas was specifically a venue to keep the UFC going when COVID broke out to the third degree. You don't have huge audiences in the Apex. You usually have your cornermen, you have your coaches, you have the cameramen, you have the referees, you have the octagon girls. You've got a few people in attendance. A few times people have bought tickets to that and have, quote, bought it out, but we're talking maybe 50, maybe 100 people at the most that are inside of the Apex. And from the sources I'm seeing, Mark Zuckerberg bought every single seat in the Apex for them to be able to go. I guess he's visiting Las Vegas, deciding he wanted to take in a fight. But, I mean, I really don't know where the validity is for this one, because Dana White comes back quickly and says through his own social media that that is total horse crap, that there is no way that he would have done that. And, you know, Dana White loves to play games with the MMA community. We don't always buy into him as fans. But again, we don't run the biggest MMA organization in the entire world. But I can honestly tell you this, even Mackenzie Dern, when she was questioned about it, since she is the main event, she said that it's going to be strange in an empty arena. So Mark Zuckerberg is there. I actually tuned in to the prelims, the main event, and saw that he is sitting there at cage side. There are a few people in attendance. So I don't want to just speculate with you, but I can honestly say that if this was allowed to go on, I can honestly tell you that I think that the UFC might have Amber Heard the bed. If you don't know what I mean by Amber Heard the bed, you can figure it out quick. Most people know what I mean without using profanity, without using four-letter words, what I mean when I say Amber Heard the bed. Because if he's buying out the venue of UFC Fight Night in the Apex, and the main event is Mackenzie Dern, no offense to the women's community, no offense to MMA female fighters, but this is not Ronda Rousey we're talking about. There are some that move the needle and there are some that don't. Mackenzie Dern, do any of you that are average fans that come by this show, do you have any idea who Mackenzie Dern is? That's not to be disrespectful. It's to be questioning of the motive of Mark Zuckerberg. Why are you buying out the seats for the Apex for the main event being Mackenzie Dern? What is your interest in her? In a way, I'm giving a rhetorical question, but I'm also being speculative. There's no denying that Mackenzie Dern is easy on the eyes, but guys, so is Misha Tate. I mean, if you're going to figure out something for the girls, why don't you wait till Holly Holm and Misha Tate come around and we have a barn burner of names that people recognize. Mackenzie Dern has been known for missing weight several times and really has had lackluster performances. What is it, Mark Zucker, and makes you want to buy out the venue and watch Mackenzie Dern when you could have easily bought out Madison Square Garden and be watching Israel Adesanya and Alex Pereira, something that will move the needle more for this sport than watching Dustin Poirier and Michael Chandler? I'm just asking, what is the allure of Mackenzie Dern as the main event? And when I say that, when you talk about a competitive side, you got Bellator that's putting on an event as well. And I'm thinking Scott Coker has his act together when I look at Bellator 286. We're seeing AJ McKee as the co-main. And that's the thing about it, guys. If you sit here and tell me that Bellator is a second-rate MMA organization and all you have is a bunch of tomato cans that can't make it in the UFC, I'm going to stop you right now and tell you that you got some of the very best athletes in the world and some passionate Bellator fans. You've got venues that are sold out in Los Angeles. You got Bellator events that are sold out in San Jose. They just had one in Dublin, Ireland that had an euphoric feeling to it. Even Ariel Helwani of the MMA Hour can confirm what he saw with Scott Coker. Doing a fantastic job showing you the old school way of allowing fighters to get sponsorships to go and have other fights outside of their contract at places like Bare Knuckle or Rising Federation. AJ McKee is one of the guys we believe that might be leading the story here, the flagship guy for the company. Because when you lost Michael Chandler, who went on to the UFC, who's leading the charge? AJ McKee is a possible prospect. Patricio Pitbull, who is defending his title tonight in the featherweight championship, is a prospect to that. You've even got, so you got Patricio versus Adam Borix, a guy who's 18-1, about to be facing him. Competitiveness? Bellator is about to really show you up. You've even got the very young but very promising Aaron Pico on this card. So I'm going, Mark Zuckerberg, if you're choosing UFC because of Mackenzie Dern being the main event, why are we overlooking this area where there are sharks swimming in the pool, but these fighters continue to swim anyway? If you want a main event that seems to be looking more like what an MMA fan would be craving, Bellator has a lot more to offer tonight as far as the main event. So some of y'all that are listening the next day, when the guns fall silent, who's going to be putting out the most quality venue? Dana White allowing Mark Zuckerberg to buy all these seats, or the speculation is certainly there from Mackenzie Dern or Scott Coker putting on an amazing main event with Patricio Pitbull versus Adam Borix, 18-1, who has a lot to prove in this sport, which could have been a trilogy between AJ McKee and Patricio, but he wants a shot at a different weight class, so he's co-main event. And then after that, you have Aaron Pico on the same card. Which one, which will you have you put on the most quality of a venue? And I'll leave that for you to chew on tonight as we get ready for the rest of this week. Again, thank you. I know this was short, brief, and to the point. I think I've loaded all the bullets up in the chamber, and the gun has been clicked empty at this point. So whatever Mark Zuckerberg's incentive is, whatever his motive is, I smell a rat. But on that note, Blockhead appreciates all of you that have come by the show and given support for so many years. We're getting closer and closer to 300. By the end of October, I believe the Great Pumpkin will be high in flight over the entire Blockhead community. We look forward to that, and I look forward to seeing you again next Saturday. You know how this works. Same Blockhead time, same Blockhead channel.